Hey, I consider it an honor to be here and Pastor Green to give me an opportunity to talk about his word. It's just a privilege. So it's great to be in the Lord's house. It's like a big Bible study tonight. And what I like to do is just give the Holy, you got to give the Holy Spirit room. If you don't give the Holy Spirit room, you know, I pray all the time the gifts of the Spirit would operate. Because if you've ever been in a meeting when the gift of faith or miracles is there, you don't ever forget it. Let's just see. If not, we'll proceed on. But you got to give room. Got to give room. So, Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We bless your holy name. You alone are worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Okay, you may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. Did I say God bless you? Hey, we're going to talk about a real familiar passage here. Real familiar. All you church people ought to have it just about memorized, right? But hopefully we'll say something. I got to be tied to this. I can't do this, and I'm usually walking around. So I'll try to stay right here so everybody can hear me. So I'll take it off here in a minute then. That's good. Thank you for the... Let's just read it and see what it says. Luke 15, verse 11, okay? The prodigal and the prodigal son here. Real familiar passage. So it says, I don't know what that line is. Oh, I see. That's part of the church. We got that line going up there. So, okay. Then he said, a certain man. Let's go back. I just changed my train of thought. Before I read it, I want to see. So the Lord's here at this in this place in the Word. And he's fixing to give a parable. And you know why the Lord gives parables? So people can understand. Because He wants everybody to understand, and they didn't have notepads, so he was giving you a story so you can remember. I mean, a lot of people think, was God brilliant? Yeah, he was brilliant, but he doesn't talk out of his brilliance. You know what the Lord talks out of? He talks out of the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit moves him, that's what he says. And I really believe that. I mean, Jesus was brilliant, but he didn't talk out of his brain because he always wanted to please the Holy Spirit, the Father. And so he's always driven by the Holy Spirit because he said he had the Spirit without measure. So he's always trying to please the Father. He says he doesn't say anything that the Father doesn't direct him. So he's given this parable, this simple parable. But you won't forget it. You won't forget it. Sometimes you'll hear teachings and you'll think, what did that guy say? I think I should have took notes. But Jesus tells such a simple story with so profound meaning, such a profound meaning that he's thinking, wow, he just knocked him out of this. I knocked the socks off here. So, but I wanted to share with you, why is he giving this parable? Let's look at first, before you read the parable, look at 15 verse 1, and I'll read it for you. I'll just read it for you. Leave that up on the screen. Okay, here's what's happening. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, the man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this to them, saying. So he gives a parable before that about the parable of the lost coin, and he starts. So he's given parables, but he's addressing tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees. Okay? So can I tell you, you fit in one of those categories? I fit in one of those categories. So he's given a simple parable here to address both issues. He's going to address, it ain't too many people can address both issues with one simple story, but the Lord can do it. He can do it. And we're going to see that here, how he does it, okay? And this thing is tying me here, so I'm going to take it off here. So now we're going to read the story. Now that you know who he's talking to, remember that. It's important. But you're one of them. Say, I'm one of them. I'm going to show you how you're one of them in just a minute. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. In other words, he just enjoyed himself for as long as his money lasted, right? But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Keep paying attention here now, because I know you've heard this parable probably 100 times. You've heard it 100 times, but we're going to try to look at it a little different here. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. We'll finish reading the whole thing, okay? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near into the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked, what are these things meant? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry. Angry. That's a strong word, angry. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who had devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said unto him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Okay. So let's look at this thing. I don't know why I printed out the parable. I just read it straight out of the words, okay? So I don't need that. Okay? So we talked about who was the story for. But let's look at the type and shadow here. There's always, most of the time, there's a type and shadow with things. And you're thinking, well, Eddie, you're giving, what kind of religious nonsense are you talking about now? In the Word, especially in the Old Testament, there's types and shadows of things about revealed truth. And so I just wanted to share with you. So you got two sons here, an older son and a younger son. And I can relate to this because I had two brothers. And I can't say we didn't have our fights. So here's what's happening. So what does it say about both of them? I believe this type and shadow is they're both saved. Why is that? Because they're what? They're both in the Father's house. They're both in the Father's house, okay? So that means they're both saved. So, but one, he decides, and we've never done this before, never in all of our life decided, I've had enough of church, I've had enough of this, and he decided, I'd get what Dad owes me, and I'll just head out. I'll make my own way. I'll do what I want to do. And that happens pretty regular. It happens pretty regularly. You wouldn't believe how often it happens. Okay? So he gets to himself, but the Lord, but let's look at something here, what we think might have should have happened, but God is wiser than we are. We'll say, why didn't the Father go after him? The Lord will never overrule your free will. He'll never overrule it. He'll never overrule your free will. If you want to leave, he's going to let you leave. He's going to let you leave. And if you, as long as it takes. But it's a good thing. Because you need to come to the end of yourself. If you don't come to the end of yourself, you're not at a good place. But he finally come to the end of himself, and notice something here that I thought was interesting. He didn't get paid at all. We think he got paid by that guy who's feeding his swine. He didn't get paid. Look. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one, it says no one. That means nobody, right? That means nobody. No one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. So what is he trying to do? I'll tell you what's happening here. A son that would go off and he's the younger son, so he only got a third. Did you know that? He's the younger son. He's not the older son, so he only got a third of what the father had. So he gives him a third, and he goes off and he spends everything. Well, Jewish tradition has it a son couldn't come back unless he'd repay his father back. So he's probably trying to earn some money to come back home, because he's in the pig pen. He's in with the pigs. And I've done my share, and you know, I've done my share of feeding the hogs, and it ain't a nice thing. Probably a lot of young people here not that old enough, but we used to have troughs, and the hogs would come up to the trough, and I was a country boy, so, you know, we had to make our fun somehow. So what I'd do is to get a little entertainment out of feeding the hogs, I'd put the slop right underneath the electric fence. So the hogs couldn't stand it very much, and they'd go get the slop right under, and it'd hit their big fat noses was always wet. So it'd hit that electric fence, and they'd squeal, and it was just fun. And I'd have a. So you see what country boys had to do for entertainment. So here's what's happening. Both sons are in the father's house, so they're both saved. One goes off. So the older gets two thirds. That was a huge deal for the father, because even to give the younger son a third, he had to get it all together. So, but what's interesting about the younger son is he finally come to the end of himself. Are you there yet? If you haven't never got to that place in your spiritual life, you need to get there. You need to get there. Because if you think it's your effort, it's never your effort. Your effort, your intellect, your abilities, they mean about, let me get that a little smaller. They don't mean much to the Lord at all. He's not impressed. What the Lord is impressed by, he's impressed by you listening for him. You listening for his voice and learning something. If you're preaching, if you're trying to learn things, when you read the Bible and you're trying to read the Bible intellectually, you're not going to get a whole lot out of it. It just won't work. You'll get little knit-nats here and there, but you won't get that much out of it, because it's the Bible says in John 8, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. Spirit. The word is spirit. Did you know that? Even its words on the page. This book is not like any other book. It's 66 books written by 40 authors, and it all jives together, written over a couple thousand years. And there's none like it. And unless you ask the Lord, when I first start reading to the Lord, I said, Lord, open up the eyes of understanding, because I need, you know, when you were praying, I was thinking, I need your help, Lord. Because if we don't have the Lord's help, things just fall flat. So I wanted to share with you, so I'm still talking here, so about what's interesting about the young boy is he's not getting fed, but he's fixing to come back to the father. He said, did you know there are three types of servants? There's three types, and I'll share with you that. There's called a bondservant. Bondservants were really high in the hierarchy of servants in somebody's household. And then there's another kind of second class was called a worker, and the third was called a hired servant. And he's thinking about a hired servant. He's not thinking about the first two. Why is that? You know what a hired servant was? They were just the traditional people that came through during the harvest time. And he's saying, even those people had enough in my father's house. He's not thinking about he wants to be a bondservant or a worker. He's thinking about, I'll take a hired servant. Even they got enough to eat when they're at my father's house. In other words, he's got to a good place. He's got to a good place in his life. And so he's thinking of that. So, you know what? So he's coming. So for that to happen, sometimes it takes a while. That's why you need to listen to teaching, because you don't ever want experience to drive yourself. We're never old enough to learn very much through experience. Did you know that? I mean, it takes too long to learn things through experience. You get too many gray hairs and you ain't making too much progress. That's why when the Pastor Green stands up here, or one of the other pastors, my wife or Vaden, you need to pay attention. Because you want to learn what you need to know without life's experiences very much. Because life's experiences are way too hard. And it takes way too long to learn, okay? So let's keep looking at it here, okay? Here's what's interesting. And I keep asking the Lord, so show me some things in here, Lord. What's going on? Well, so he's coming home. And I was at I'd visited some friends. I told Carla, friends, high school friends, when I was at Oklahoma TDY, and their names were Irvin and Connie. Irvin was a great friend when we were growing up. Ever since I was about in the third grade, Irvin was a really good friend. So we're going to this restaurant to eat. We're meeting at this restaurant, and we're 6 hours away, and we're just meeting there together. And Irvin says this to me when we go into the restaurant. He said, I knew it was you. I said, how'd you know it was me? You didn't see nothing but the back. He said, I knew by your walk. I said, what kind of walk? He said, I just know you. It was you. And I told Connie, that's Eddie right there because of his walk. Well, that's what was happening here. He was way too far off, but his daddy knew him. Why did his daddy know him? Because his daddy knew his walk. So here's what's happening. What drives the father? What drives the father? I tell you what drives the father. Love. Love drives the father. He's so merciful he can't help himself. That's just the way he is. You think we have this preconceived ideas of the father being hard. He's not hard at all. He's merciful and long-suffering because what drives him? Love drives him. And so that's what we're seeing in this story. So he's looking down that road every morning, or every time he's walking by the door. Let's say the road was way down. My granddad used to live at the end of a long road, about 300 yards before it got to the highway. And I can see the father. He's looking down that road. And I'm sure over the, whatever it took, 6 or 8 months, he's seeing guys coming down his road, whether it was workers, his servants, or whatever. But all of a sudden, that walk looks familiar. So he's looking a little bit further, and he said, I know that walk. So what's happening to a father in Jewish times is it wasn't kosher. What's a better word for kosher? It wasn't good or cool for a middle-aged man to run. They didn't ever run. Well, he was so excited because love was driving him. Love was driving him, so he had to go meet his son. So he's running down there to meet his boy. So, and then he reinstates it. So let's look at a couple of things here, which I thought was really good, okay? So back on verse, and I don't know how I'm doing with my slides. You can see Carla made my slides, and so I'm right there. So let's see if I can stay up with him now, okay? So, but what's driving the father, too, is he never stops loving. The father, no matter how grouchy and ugly and sorry you get, he'll never stop loving you. That's true. He will never stop loving you. His love will drive you wherever you go. And so he's always ready looking for you. So you're thinking, well, no, he won't. Yes, he does. They call it a saying, they call it all the time, the hound of heaven, okay? He's always there, and he's always waiting on you, okay? Oh, the root word for the father is the source. So here's the father, and he's the source of everything. Is he your source? Is the father your source? Or do you think you're pretty good at, you can make it without him, Carrie, because you're a pretty good carpenter. I can do it. My ability is pretty good. Or I'm a pretty good engineer. I'm pretty good. I'm telling you, I've come to the place now that, no, couldn't do it without him. You got to come to the place that you can do nothing without him. You got to always think about that. I can do nothing without him. It should come to the point when you start working on a problem. Carla used to say this to me all the time when I was working on a problem or I couldn't. He'd say, she'd always come up and, you know what, she'd irritate me. She'd say, because I couldn't fix it, I'd be working on the car and I couldn't figure out what it was. And she'd say, have you prayed about it? I said, what? Prayed about it. And I'd say, no, I ain't prayed about it because it's simple enough to fix. I don't need the Lord's help. And then about 5 minutes later, the Lord starts talking to me. Oh, simple enough. Don't need my help. That's good. So then about an hour later, I usually sit down and say, okay, I was wrong, Lord, forgive me. I need your help. I can't figure it out. And he'll usually say something that causes a big, well, that wasn't, you could have told me that a long time ago, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Used to happen to me pretty regular. So now, as I've got older, it don't take me but about 5 minutes now. And I'll figure out, hey, yeah, Lord, sorry it took me 5 minutes. but here I am, and I need your help to figure this out. But when I'm reading the Word, you need to always pray this before you're reading the Word. Lord, I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened here. Okay? Because if you don't pray that way, you don't get half of what you need to get out of the Word. You don't. And how can I apply it to me? You don't need to be reading the Word saying, well, Sister Susie or Brother Joe needs to hear this, Lord. How can I get this to him? Did I ever tell you that when you first get married, you're so different. You're trying to figure out things. And you have these conflicts. And I tell you, when I'd go pray, I'd be praying in the morning, and the Lord had never tell me, I'd say, Carla needs more, she needs more patience, Lord. And she needs to figure this out. And you know what? The Lord never done? He never said it was her fault. It's always my fault. He said, no, it's your fault. It's your fault. It was always my fault. And I guarantee you, when you're praying about your marriage, whether you're the man or the woman, don't expect him to say, okay, go tell, he'll never say, Chris, go tell Brittany this. Because he's always going to say, nope, it's your fault because you weren't this and you should have did that. And Brittany goes to the Lord and says, Chris needs, he'll never tell Brittany it was Chris's fault. Go tell him this. He'll be working on Brittany the same way he works on Chris. God is always working on you. You're the main problem. The guy in the mirror is the main problem. The girl in the mirror is the main, they're the main problem. So let's keep looking at this, what I thought was really good here. So, but the father said to his servants, bring out, what is he doing here? He's reinstating him. The best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. So he's reinstating him here. The ring represents authority, represents his name, represents access. Can I share with you another story? I grew up in the country, you realize that. And I go to, there's a little old country store, and there are all these guys, it was probably in the 60s, and these guys are sitting around on drink crates. Y'all don't ever see that anymore because it just doesn't happen anymore like that anymore. And these old guys on a Saturday morning are sitting around on drink crates. And I come walking up, and they're all staring at me. And what's the first question they ask me? Who's your daddy, buddy? Who's your daddy, boy? What are you doing around here? My daddy wasn't from around here, but my granddaddy was. They all would know. So I said, you probably don't know my daddy, but you probably know my granddaddy. And I'd say, my granddaddy's name is Oakley. And he'd say, oh, you're Oakley's grandson. Come here, boy. Come here. Sit down. Well, that's what's happening here. That's what's happening to the son. He's giving him his ring back. He's got his ring because now he's got his ring. He's got his authority. He's got his robe. He's got his shoes. And when he goes anywhere, he's got the authority of the Father again. When you come back, when you come to the end of yourself and you come back in, Lord doesn't make you earn yourself. You don't have to re-earn yourself. It's all free. It's all grace. Now, we're always trying to do good works, but you don't earn yourself. The Lord just says, oh, about time. What took you so long? You know, when you get back in the room, he's lavishes you because I keep telling you, he's motivated by love. And if we would be motivated by love, we'd be a lot better off, okay? So I want to share with you a couple of things here that I noticed when I was reading again. So look at this. Listen to what this son said too, though, which was wrong, okay? And bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. He's alive again. You're alive again when you get to the end of yourself and come back. I like it when you finally said, this is my theology, okay? You don't ever want to be in that place of rebellion if the rapture was to happen. I don't know what would happen. I don't know. Because in this scripture and other places, you're in a life of, let's say you at one time you were a strong believer. But let's say you were in the act of adultery when the rapture happened. I don't know what would happen. I don't know what would happen. Because I'm Pastor Green. I'm not believing that once saved, always saved. You got to keep right down the road. That's why you got to discipline yourself and discipline yourself. You don't want to be in a place like that when something like that happens. Because I don't want to say one way or the other, okay? I'm not in that kind of place, but we want to be in a good standing with the Lord, okay? So I wanted to share with you something else here, and then I wanted to share with you how to not get in either one of those places. Here's the older son. The older sons. So the rebellious son is the son that went off, and he was a backslider, and he came back. But let me tell you what most of us are, including you and me. Right, right, Christina? Including, because we're all church people. We're all church people. So here's, the Lord's given this story, and we're church people. So we're sitting back, and somebody comes to the door, and they ain't been through the door in a couple of years. And we know what they've done in the last few years, and they've cut the fool and everything like that. And we want to say, what's he doing back here in this church? I mean, we get all pious and upright, don't we? What in the world? I've been here all the time. I've been serving God all the time. I've been here in the heat of the day, shalom. I've been in the heat of the day. That's the same thing that happened at that other parable. Why are they getting the same amount of money I'm getting? They didn't start at 11 o'clock. Well, you ought to call it a privilege to be in the Lord's house all the time. Well, I don't care. We want people to get saved by the skin of their teeth when we're growing up. We have to grab them by the hair of the head when we're heading up. Right? We want them there, right? So that's what's happening here. So look at him. And he lied one time. Do you notice this? So if you're writing your Bible, you need to say, this guy lied. Because look, verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. Look what he says about himself. Look what he says. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. I never sinned. Never, not once, not any time. Well, he's a church folk. He's church. He's the one that stayed, so he's looking at the whole incident. That's a lie. That's a lie. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And he's telling his father, I've never transgressed. I've never. No. You lie. You lie. Right? He ain't at the right. He's not at the right point here. But the father is motivated by love for me too. Even I'm a church folk. We're church folk. He's still motivated by love even though we're hard-headed. And we think, I'm doing good. I come here every Wednesday and Sunday night. I even come here on Pastor Green's sixth. I'm doing good. You see what he's doing though? You see in his parable? He's addressing them Pharisees, Tom. Now he's getting to the Pharisees. So the first part, the taxes and the tax collectors and all, he's addressed them in the story, the first part of the story. Now he'll get to the second part of the story. Now he'll get to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Oh, we're not through. The Lord's thinking to himself, we're not through with this parable yet. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. And so you're thinking, hey, wow, that didn't affect me none. But then he's coming. He's coming. Don't worry. So this is what happened. But the father is still motivated by love to the older son. He's still motivated by love. He doesn't say, you sorry dog. You know you sinned. You know you haven't. What do you want me to do? The Lord didn't point out his faults. And I'm sure the father could have said, really? At all times? You've never transgressed me? Never, huh? Oh, sure. Okay. But the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord doesn't do that. If you're of a contrite heart and you want to get right, the Lord's right there to meet you. He's right there. He's right there, okay? So what I wanted to share with you is, how do we get to the point where we're not either one of these, okay? So let's look at something here. The Bible says in James, do I have James 4:8 up there? Okay? I want to share with you, there it is right there. I want to share with you what's important here now. We don't want to be either one of these young men, neither one of them. So how do you get to the point that you'll never be either one of them? The Bible says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What does that mean? That means you got to make the first move. Wait a minute. I got to make the first move? You got to make the first move. It's up to you. You've got as much as God as you want. But God will meet you. He'll meet you when you start. All you need to do is start, and God will meet you. But people think, well, I'll pray, God. They think there's no effort on their part. There is always effort on your part. You know what? One of the biggest efforts you can make to start with, if you're trying to be closer to God. Let me tell you this real spiritual thing. An alarm clock. An alarm clock. Well, I get up 10 minutes before I go to work. I throw my clothes on and away I go. And you don't have a bit of time for reading your word and praying and letting God direct your steps at work. You just jump right in there. So what's a good spiritual thing to do? Get you a $5 alarm clock and let that thing go bah, 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 about an hour before you go to work. And get up and pray and read your word. Me and Carla read our word together. Let me tell you, the women's perspective of the Bible is a lot different from a man's perspective. And it's great. It's great because she'll get things in the word that I don't. What about this? Look at this. And so it's a great sharing. A husband and wife sharing, reading the word in the morning. It's great. It helps me out a lot. We get different perspective and we're reading together. So I just wanted. So I'm telling you a couple of things that you need so you draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Okay? Because we don't want to be any of these two sons. We don't want to be either one of them. And usually people fall into either one of those classes. They'll either fall into one or the other. They're either a religious zealot or they're a backslider. Okay? That's just the way it works most of the time. So look at this. Here's what happens. You determine the level of relationship, not God. Okay? Remember that. That's important. You determine the level of relationship because God will be, he'll be right there with you all the time. So if you want to get closer to God, God's right there with you. He's right there with you all the time. Okay? Remember that. The people you know that are closest to God, they're disciplined. Oh, it just happened. It just happened, Denise. You know, it just happens. It just happens. Oh, God just shows favorites. Nope. God doesn't ever show favorites. God never shows favors, Tom. He never shows favors. You'll never be able to go up to God and say, you favored Carla more than you favored me. He'll say, No, I didn't. Never. It won't ever work. You'll never be able to tell him that. What the difference with the people that you think are dedicated and people that aren't dedicated is just they decided to make a decision. They just decided, we're going to do this. The problem is we wait too long. I'm 58 now, and my mouth is going by way too fast, way too fast. Don't wait. Get yourself going. Get yourself that $10, $5, $10, whatever alarm clock you love. You like those good, nice, expensive alarm clocks? Get you a good one. I don't care. But what you need to do is you need to have it far enough away from the bed so you can't hit the snooze button. You get your butt up. And what's your problem by not getting up very often? I tell you what, I don't even have to be spiritual ed to tell you that. You wait too late to go to bed. There ain't nothing on that TV more important than the Lord in the morning. Nothing. Nothing. So get yourself a good night's sleep by going to bed earlier and get up and get ready to read your word and pray, okay? I know that was real spiritual, but I didn't know how else to say it, okay? So here's what's happening, okay, is the lack of hunger. Psalms 42:1 says this, as a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for the Lord. Okay? Does your soul pant for the Lord? David was passionate. And you know what we got to fit? Here's what we misconcern too. Well, it's all about money. No, money had nothing to do with it. You're saying, yes, it does. Money has a lot to do with it, Eddie. No, it doesn't. Not for your passion for the Lord. You know, let me show you. They estimate that David left about 40 tons of gold for Solomon. And 400 tons of silver. 40 tons of gold and 400 tons of silver. And it didn't quiet his passion for God not one iota. He had more money than he could haul around in wheelbars, we're saying. But here's what happened to the... Look at the children of Israel. They were always saying this, Tom. They were always saying, I want to go back to Egypt where I eat melons and all that. They stayed in the slums. They stayed in the slums and they were slaves. But who never said that? Who never said that? Moses never said that. And Moses grew up in the penthouse. He grew up in the penthouse where he was second in command. And Moses never said that. Why didn't Moses ever say that? Because once he got in God's presence, there was nothing like it. Nothing like it. And once you get into God's presence, there's nothing like it. I mean, it just drives you. Once God shows up, he shows up, you're like, wow, this is something special. So it's not money. It's not money that drives you. It's your passion. Your passion for the Lord needs to drive you. And make good decisions and get started. All you got to do is get started, okay? I wonder if I'm going by my notes. Is that, okay? But again, it's your responsibility. The prayer of God to increase your hunger is incorrect. God wants you to increase your hunger. You do something, okay? Look, your hunger is your spiritual thermometer, how hungry you are for God. Did you know that? You know that you are hungry for what you feed on. Oh, that was deep, Eddie. That was deep. But let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If all you look at all the time is ESPN and football, that's all you're feeding on. That's all you want to hear about. So how do you get out of that? How do you get out of that a little bit? You start feeding on the Word a little bit more, a little bit more. And then God's Word is such that it makes you hungry. So you cut back a little bit on ESPN. You don't watch it 2 hours a night. Or Fox News, right? Or whatever you're watching that's so enamored with you. You get fed by what you're hungry for, and you get hungry for what you're feeding on. Are you feeding on the Word? Are you feeding on the Word a little bit? The Lord he's just right there. And once he shows you things, and all the time he's showing you things for you. He never shows you me things for Carla. Never. I mean, he may show me things in the Word that I point out to Carla, but it's mainly for me because I got a long ways to go. We all got a long ways to go. We think we've arrived and we're getting pretty close. We're not close. We're not close. We're not near as far along as we think we are. Do you know that? And how you act under pressure. Did you know how you act under pressure? That's a big thermometer for you too. When that pressure gets on, what comes out? It's the Word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you're thinking, I want to be around you when you hit your finger with the hammer, Mark. Well, we should be. We should just hit our finger with a hammer, and our response is, wow, that hurt. But not profanity shouldn't come out of our mouth because it's not in our heart, right? It's not in our heart. We love God, right? So that's a big, but if it happens to come out, then that's the big indicator for you. Oh, man, I got to get into the Word a little bit more. Things that shouldn't have never come out of my mouth. That was embarrassing. That's what happens to you a lot of times. That was, Lord, I'll get by myself. That was embarrassing how I acted. Right? Because when people see you under pressure, that's a huge witness. Huge witness, Christina. It's huge. Did I say it was huge? Because they know how they react under pressure. And they're saying, wow, that guy's got something I ain't got. Or that woman, that young lady's got something I ain't got. And I want it. They'll say, what in the world? I can't believe that happened to you and you didn't start cussing like a sailor. Well, no. And then usually that opens the door. And then what does the Word say? You always need to have a word for the hope that lies within you. You always know. If you got to get ready, you're too late. You're usually in the Walmart. Let's say you're in a Walmart in a checkout line. And she's just giving you an opening, and you're wondering if you should say something or not. You should say something. When you're wondering about whether you should have already said something, so jump right in there, you know? Don't ever think, well, I need to get ready. No, just have something ready. Just say something like this. Well, let's just pray. You know, God can help you out on that situation. That's all you got to do a lot of times. You know what? What's your name? Oh, yeah, Susan. Let's just pray. I believe God's got something better for that. You know, you just need to say something. And God will honor if it ain't. It don't have to be perfect. It don't have to be right. You know? let me finish up here. And one thing you got to know too is when you've said enough, you just need to stop. You need to leave. I've heard a pastor say this: when you get them hungry, you need to stop. That's what. Okay. How much longer have I got? None. Am I good? If I finish early, I'm good. So. But look, your hunger is your spiritual thermometer. And what's the first thing that leaves you? Second one, Brandon. What's the first thing that leaves you when you get sick? What's the first thing that leaves you? Your appetite. Your appetite leaves you. Your appetite leaves you. Oh, leave that up there. I'm going to tell you something about that. Go back to that other one. Look. Now, here's something about this scripture I want to share with you. Here I am standing at the door knocking. A lot of people use this church for the unsaved, but that's not what's happening here. This is what Jesus is talking about for the church, the last church in the seven churches in Asia Minor. He's talking to the church. In other words, say, the Lord is talking to me. He's talking to you right there. So Jesus is talking to the church, and he's at the door and knocking. What's he doing? Because he's coming in. Did you know that eating a meal with people is one of the most intimate things you can do? It's not the most intimate thing with a husband and wife, but friends and relatives, that's close. That's one thing we don't do as a family enough is eat together. Because you're sharing. You share with people when you eat together. You're always talking about something. And you're opening yourself up. And that's what he's talking about. Jesus is talking about, I'm knocking. Let me in. Let's go in and eat something together and we'll talk. That's what he's talking about. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. Now that you can, scriptures have dual application. Don't get me wrong. They have dual application, and that's a good thing to use when you're standing at the door knocking for somebody's salvation. But really and truly, if you're looking at it, he's talking to a church, and he's saying, hey, I want to come in and eat with you. It's kind of like what Pastor Green said. If he went to your house, would you have to change your behavior any at all? You shouldn't have to be changing your behavior, you know? You should be able to sit down in your house, and whatever you got on the TV and however you conduct yourself, you should be fine. If it ain't fine, Jesus is right there with you. He's right there with you. And it don't take Jesus very long. When somebody comes on the TV, they ain't, let me get that clicker, that thing, that shows. Even old Westerns that I used to watch. I'm thinking, wow, I didn't know that was in that Western. That was 20 years ago. You see what I'm saying? But God, the Holy Spirit inside of you, he's right there with you. And that you don't need to be saying no more. And then when you say something you shouldn't be saying, the Lord will say, that was sorry. That was, what'd you say that for? Go over and apologize. And I think, apologize? Yeah. Get after it. Hurry up. You know? Because the Holy Spirit is just right there. He's right there with you. Because you want him right here. You don't want to leave him home. You don't want to say, go into places. Do you go in places you have to leave the Holy Spirit at the door? That's a place you're not to be going into. Hello? You should never go. You know what they say a lot of times in these porno shops or something, for adults, adults only. I said, no, that ain't for adults only. That ain't for nobody. Because what does the scripture say? You should come to the Lord like a little child. Well, your boy, can your three-year-old, can your four-year-old, can they see and hear that? Well, you're good then. You're good. But you say, no, you need to go to bed. We're watching. What? Am I meddling too much now? Huh? Hello? Trevor said something that wasn't a profane word. It was just some crass word one time. And I said, I don't like that word. Don't use that word no more. And he said, I said, I'll make a deal with you, Trev. I'll make a deal with you. And I said this to him, Jason. I said, anything you hear me say, you can use. And Trevor said, that ain't fair, Dad. You never say nothing like that. And I said, well, that's good. That's good. And we don't have to worry about that in our house then, do we? You see what I'm saying? You need to set the example. As a man in your house, you need to set the example. Your child should never hear you say or do anything. And how you treat your wife, you should love your wife like Christ loved the church. Do you do it? Man, I'm so convicted about that all the time. I pray that, but the Lord said, you ain't even close yet. Right, baby? You're witness to that. You know what I'm saying? Do you love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave herself for it? Or every time you come into the TV, you got to get the remote and start clicking it to your channel? You sorry dog, let that thing down. Watch your cooking channel. Sit down and watch your cooking channel and don't turn it to ESPN every time you turn around. What does the word say? The word says deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Ain't that what it says, Skip?
You ain't denying yourself. If you got to have the clicker every time you get in the room, turn it to your channel. Right? So anyway, here's one last scripture, the Proverbs. This is key right here. This is key. Why is that key? What does Solomon say? He says above all. Above all. What does heart mean? Above all else, guard your heart. What's your heart? Your heart ain't your muscle pumper. Remember I said that in Sunday school class? Your heart ain't your muscle pumper. Your heart is the spirit. When it talks about heart in the Bible, it talks about your spirit. That's your spirit. It can say this. Instead of using heart, they can say spirit. Above all else, guard your spirit. Guard your spirit. Guard your spirit. I say guard your spirit, because the windows and the ears get down into your spirit, what you see and hear. Remember Lot, and I'm almost done. You remember Lot, righteous Lot? He was vexed. What was he vexed by? The things he saw and heard. The things he saw and heard, righteous Lot was vexed. What's going to vex your soul if you're seeing and hearing things that aren't good? Right? So above all else, guard your heart, and you'll never get in the state of either one of those two sons. You'll always love to come to church. You'll always be compassionate and merciful when somebody comes in and they've been gone a long time. You just run over there and hug their neck and say, it's good to see you. Because you would just, if it was just that much further, Kevin, you'd be in the same state they were. We'd be in the same state they were if it weren't for God's grace. Thanks again for the pastor letting me speak. Get yourself a good alarm clock and get after this thing about disciplining yourself. Ain't God bless you.